Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
A pleasant good evening to everyone, and welcome to Sports Talk. Mike Haas, along with Charlie Long, who will carry us the rest of the way until 8 o'clock tonight. It's the summertime. You just don't know. A little bit of Jeff and I last week, a little bit of Jeff and you, a little bit of everybody. Steve's off, but that'll kind of come to an end soon.
Because yes, sir.
This is the last Wednesday you will have without Saints football. Next Tuesday, the 22nd, will be the press conferences introductory from Mickey Loomis and Kellen Moore. We'll hear from Kellen Moore a lot. We don't hear from Mickey too much during the preseason, during the training camp aspect. But then the 23rd, next Wednesday, 9 a.m., the Saints will be on the practice field in Metairie. Just shells and, you know, pads, not full pads until the 28th, so just practice shells on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday they are off, Sunday they are back again with shells, and then on Monday, July 28th, will be their first practice in pads, again in Metairie. They are in Metairie. Now, most of these practices are open, whether you can still get tickets, go to NewOrleansSaints.com and find all that out. Generally about 9 o'clock or 9:30, they're there until August 5th, and then they travel to California. So the 22nd, next Tuesday, we'll hear from Mickey, we'll hear from Kellen, and we will also find out the jersey color that they're going to be wearing for, I guess, whatever their special, the special games they can. They have a lot more special opportunities to kind of, you know, differentiate from the traditional.
Yeah, and we have to wait a little bit longer than we did for the helmet announcement. They released the helmet kind of preview, and then it was almost the next day we saw, oh, it's the white helmets that everyone was anticipating. But now they're kind of easing this new jersey color.
Well, you know, it's the end. They're stretching it, man. Who do they work for?
Yeah.
The NFL and probably few do it better in lengthening out anything than the NFL.
Here's the number that I saw earlier, Mike. Adam Schefter from ESPN tweeted this morning, the NFL season with the Cowboys and the Eagles in the opener kicks off in 50 days. 50 days from today.
Wow. We've got teams at camp, right? I mean,
yeah.
The Chargers are at camp, right? For the Hall of Fame game. And coming up, you know, about 8 minutes from now, we're going to talk to Doug Sunseri. You know him from All Things Legal. I've known him for a long time. He and Albert Nico with their practice, and does a lot of insurance stuff. He helps out a lot of people with insurance. He and Albert does some of our hurricane coverage. They do All Things Legal on Sunday mornings from 8 to 10. But what you might not know, when I first met Doug, he was also an agent. And so he's going to talk about this. It's become a little serious now. The situation with the second round picks in the NFL, two have signed. They signed on May 8th and May 9th, Cleveland and the Texans, and that's it. It was the Texans first on May 8th that gave out the full 4-year guaranteed contract to their second round pick. He was the second pick of the first round of the second round, Jaden Higgins. And the next day, Cleveland did the same thing with Carson Schwessinger, who got 11.8 million. So now you have this fully guaranteed 4-year deals for the first time ever. And so the NFL team said, here's what we'll do. We'll sit back. We'll see what the other teams do. And then we'll all kind of follow suit. We'll all fall in line. Well, ain't nobody done nothing. And camp, you know, starts next week. And it's different for every team. You know, is my second round pick 52, and it doesn't matter as much? Well, the Saints is quarterback, the 40th pick, and could be very much in the throes of things, and you don't want to miss any time. So I didn't give it much. I really did not give it much thought when it first happened back in May. But now I don't. That's kind of what I want to talk to Doug is like. I hate to say the word collusion, but can't these NFL teams get together and go, all right, here's what we're going to do, right? You go. We're going to give 75% blank. You know, I don't know who it's going to. I don't know if they're going to go because they're setting precedent here. Like Cleveland and the Texans have. The NFL, the other 30 teams want to say, no. You're not setting precedent. You made that decision, but we don't want this to be precedent setting. So the next few moves, I think, are crucial.
Yeah, a lot of NFL teams are probably not very happy with Nick Caserio from the Texans and then Andrew Berry from the Browns, because you're looking at these two players with Higgins and also Schlesinger. I mean, two of the earliest picks of the second round, but they're given fully guaranteed deals, $11.8 million for Schlesinger, $11.7 for Higgins, and then it's just become a staring contest because not every team wants to obviously hand out a fully guaranteed deal to your second round pick. And with the Saints, it's a little bit more fascinating because Tyler Shuck is the only quarterback of the second round selections. So, and obviously
it's
you want
to crazy when you think about it.
I know it is.
You know,
well, this year's quarterback
this
class
year,
was
they,
also
they
kind
all
of
go
weird.
So early, you know,
a
now.
Few first rounders. Right. And then there was a big gap. Shuck was the second round pick. And then there's some third rounders and day three guys as well. But the Saints are kind of in a weird spot here with Shuck because obviously you want him to get every single snap that he can get at training camp, which, as you mentioned, Mike, starts a week from today. But they got to figure this contract situation out.
Yeah, I don't know who's going to be the first. You know, it becomes who's going to blink first. That's why I just feel like there's got to be – because I don't even know that Higgins and Carson – we're out there just banging for 4-year guaranteed contracts, right? Like it almost feels like, you know, hey, we're changing the tone of this and we're going to set this new price. It didn't feel that way, right? But now it's like I understand that the other 30 are going, no, we don't want to set that precedent.
Exactly.
Because so many, the number, I don't know, 30, 40% of your second rounders are not playing in your fourth year. So that's a tough guarantee. And a lot of them, so you know, do get partial guarantees, but full, well, two. We'll see. We're going to talk to Doug Cinceri about that. We'll talk about the Pelicans as well. Huge weekend here in New Orleans. UFC 318, Poirier and Holloway. We'll be watching the weather, of course. So lots to talk about. Take a break. This is Sports Talk. Mike Haas and Charlie Long with you until 8 o'clock tonight. Back after this on WWL.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome back, Mike Haas and Charlie Long with you tonight on Sports Talk until 8 o'clock tonight. Pelicans play tonight in Las Vegas against Oklahoma City. That also is 8:30, I believe the tip-off there is for the Pelicans. They are looking for their first win in Oklahoma City. Pretty strong. They haven't lost yet after winning the NBA title, but we're going to talk right now to Doug Cinceri. You know him well. He's the co-host of All Things Legal with a good friend of mine, Albert Nico, as Doug has been a friend of mine since I moved to New Orleans 35 years ago on Sundays from 8 to 10, leading right into our Saints coverage. He does a lot of our hurricane coverage, and he and Albert both are our big legal team in fighting the insurance companies after storms. But there was a time in his career that he was a NFL player agent. And so that's why I'd asked him to be on the show. How are you doing, Mr. Cinceri?
Great. That was back in the days you were in Lubbock, right?
Well, Lubbock and here, you were, I mean, yeah. I don't know when it was in the, I got here in 89.
That's when I met you.
Yeah.
That's when I got certified.
Yeah. Were you representing then?
Yes. I started in 1989.
There you go. Yeah. So the relationship of the agent and the team, you know, was many things. Back then, it was chaos. I mean, it was them leaking. You talked to the agent all the time. It was, you know, it was a very unique relationship, I'm sure, with the agent and the general manager. And then when we got into the slotting, you know, part of this, it was kind of like, all right, first round, here's what you're going to make. Second round, here's what you're going to make. And we haven't talked about a holdout, in my world, in some time. I guess tell me what it was like back then, you know, dealing with general managers when it was just feast or famine. You were fighting for every dollar you could possibly get.
It was everything was on the table. It was really a lot of how much and a lot. And the interesting thing in the NFL 30 years ago is there was disparity where the rookies, like the first round picks, were making more money than the veterans. So what they have done over the last 30 years is sort of reallocated the money from the rookies who didn't have any skins on the wall to the veterans, usually after their first rookie contract. So that was the trend over the last 30 years. Also, and we for a little while we didn't have a salary cap, and then we had a salary cap. So when you had a salary cap, teams a lot of times just had a budget. In other words, they said, this is our number for your player. We can negotiate structure, but we're really not going to negotiate a lot on how much because we just don't have it in the budget. So what happens with the rookie cap now is it is slotted under the 2011 collective bargaining agreement. So the only negotiation in the second round, third round, was how much guaranteed money were you going to have. The contracts were going to be 4 years, but whether you had a signing bonus and any part of the first or second year guaranteed. Typically, recently, in the second round pick, you had slotted total compensation, which was that was pretty immovable. And then you had a four-year contract where if you were on the top end of the second round, you might get 3 years if you were lucky. But typically, the guaranteed money would be 2 years, and in some cases, even less. So basically, the difference now was before it was how much with an unlimited cap. Now it is how do you structure it, and what's negotiated is how much guaranteed money are you going to get in your 4 years.
And so here we are. Yes. So May 8th and May 9th, in order, the Texans signed and then Cleveland signed their first. They were the number one pick of the second round and the second pick of the second round. And bang, guaranteed 11.7 for Jaden Higgins and guaranteed 11.8 very next day for Carson Schwessinger for Cleveland. And you know, all of a sudden it becomes, it's precedent setting. And May 8th, June 8th, July 8th, here we are on the 16th, and nobody has signed. And, you know, we haven't been in this situation in a long time, right? Who's going to blink? And so because, I mean, you tell me, the league, the other 30 teams go, no, we do not want this to be precedent setting. And so we are going to hold firm because I think, but I believe that this is a big deal to them.
It is huge. Now, you made a good point in the last segment. They can't talk among themselves and say, hey, we're going to get together and hold out on this, because that would be collusion, antitrust, and that would be all kinds of problems. In fact, if I asked the other 30 general managers, they would probably want to hire Vito Corleone and get him to deal with this with Houston and Cleveland. But this is, I think, whoever's going to blink first. Now, here's the question is, for the team, is the second round pick, do they have a play, do they need to play right away, or is it okay if they sit and cool their heels? So I'll give you an example. If the Saints would have drafted a center at number 40, they would be a lot less likely to give in to the pressure of 4 years guaranteed, because they got Eric McCoy there. He's an all-pro, and he's not going to play next year unless Eric gets hurt. However, the Saints are in a very unique situation because they don't have a quarterback with any type of experience, and it is paramount to get as many reps for Shuck. And also, it's part of their marketing campaign to say, we have a new quarterback, we have a new start, and he's going to sit out or hold out waiting for a four-year guaranteed contract. So each team has a specific situation that is different from the other teams. And I think some of the ones who are going to hold out and not agree to a four-year guarantee probably already have a player that's ahead of that second round pick who they are counting on. And they're like, we don't need the second round pick this year. It's okay. And we're going to let him cool his heels. But the Saints have a very interesting dilemma because they have their poster child or poster, you know, their future as a quarterback. And, you know, that's what they're marketing, that we have a new start with a new quarterback. And it'll be interesting to see how, you know, who blinks first, as you so eloquently stated.
Yeah, you know, that was my question for you, Doug, is it going to be the Saints that do blink first? Because it being the only quarterback of these second round picks, and as you kind of mentioned, Kellen Moore's handpicked guy, the 40th overall selection, that they want to get him as many reps as possible throughout the training camp process. Like, it feels like of all the teams that are going to have to make their decision sooner rather than later, because we've come down to this point where we're a week away from training camp, the Saints seem like the first team to do so.
Yeah. What if I was the Saints, and I'm not, you know, I'll give advice. I say make it a guaranteed contract without calling it a guaranteed contract. In the sense of this, what you do is you structure it maybe for 2 to 3 years guaranteed, but you have a kicker in there that if he reaches a minimal threshold, then the fourth year would be guaranteed. So in that case, what you could say is, hey, the contract is not guaranteed, wink, wink, for 4 years, but there's the threshold to get that fourth year guaranteed might be very low. So what I see with the Saints, or, you know, a team like the Saints would do, is they would probably say, hey, look, we don't want to set a precedent here. We're going to call it a 3 year, but it's probably going to operate like a 4 year. And that's what I would see would be the possible compromise for the agent who wants a 4 year guarantee and for the team who wants to save face and say, no, we don't give out 4 year guaranteed quarterbacks for contracts for second year picks. We don't do that. We're not doing that this year. We're not doing it next year. And we're not doing it in the indefinite future.
Because if you look across the board, history tells us that the second round pick, 40th, you know, in year four, is not a guarantee. You'd think that they are, but you know, in a lot of cases, they're not. The percentages are not outstanding.
Let me read some names out to you: Jimmy Clausen, Christian Hackenberg, Tavares Jackson, Kevin Cobb, Brady Quinn, Paxton Lynch, Quincy Carter. Those were all second round picks or higher. And they didn't survive or probably play out their four-year contract. And that's what the Saints don't want to have happen. And I don't want to be negative, but I'm going to say statistically, this is just statistically, a shuck has about a 30 to 40% chance that he will play out his contract with the Saints or be a viable NFL starter. That's just statistically. I'm not saying that's true. So that's what the Saints are trying to have to weigh in deciding how to get them a, you know, whether to give him a 4 year guarantee to get him in on at camp early so he can get as many reps as possible. So that's, you know, that's the other side of the equation. And that goes also for Higgins and Carson Schwesinger.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not locks. I would say they're probably 80%. Going to play, but they're not locks. And to be weighted down with a you know, two or three years of a contract when they don't when a second round that doesn't perform is a consideration for the team to make.
So just kind of looking into your crystal ball, do you think this is something that could last in the training camp with the Saints and Tyler Shuck? Because it's already, I mean, granted it's a lesser position with wide receiver Trey Harris with the Chargers. The Chargers have already started training camp and he's still unsigned as a second round pick. So there's a little bit of precedent for not being having your second-round pick signed as you start training camp.
I think it's going to go down to the wire. And when it gets down to the wire, there's both considerations on both sides to get him in on camp on time. What I think they're going to do is something like I alluded to before. They're going to be creative. They're going to, you know, they're going to call it not guaranteed, but it's going to probably operate as guaranteed so both sides can save face. So, yes, I do think it's going to go down to the wire. And I think it'll be a standoff for probably about 18 of these players. I tell you what, when the dominoes fall, they will fall quickly.
Exactly. I mean, and so if we have a question on the talk and text line that came in, that if the team does make this the wink wink non-guaranteed contract, it then kind of does set precedent, but everybody's trigger clauses will be different because he's a quarterback. It might be plays, touchdowns, yards, or you might be a DB. It might just be how many defensive percentage of plays that you got in. So that would be the difference. I mean, yes, it would be precedent setting in that sense that you're putting, you know, triggers in for years 1, 2, and 3 maybe, but everybody's might be different.
Right. Yes. So that's, you know, the reason you'd want to not have it officially as a 4-year is because it gives you plausible deniability. And, you know, you can, you know, and with a quarterback, you make a great point because it's sort of an all or nothing deal. You know, probably you're either going to be a starter or you're going to be a backup. And if you're a backup, you're probably not going to play a lot, but mop up duty. So I think they can get creative on how to figure that out. You know, there's, you know, they do have to work within a framework of 4 years, but there's some things you can maybe restructure if certain things happen. Like maybe you can put some, you know, maybe some benefit early on if certain benchmarks are made. So, you know, I think if they get down to the wire, I think there's a way of doing this with both the agent and the team saving face, if they're both reasonable and flexible. Usually when you have a holdout, you have someone who's just dug in, and, you know, and it could be possibly that one side is unreasonable or overplaying their leverage. I think what makes a great negotiator is the identification of leverage and using it appropriately. And so that's what I think both parties are going to try to do, is to use their leverage appropriately and see where they land.
Well, the interesting thing is that you got to be wondering. So Cleveland with Carson, then Jaden, the fourth pick of the second round is Cleveland. Quinshon Judkins, the running back out of Ohio State.
He's in his own legal troubles right now.
Yeah, but I mean, he's got to be wondering. And also the Texans.
Have another
pick. So what they should fix this. You know, the NFL teams are saying, look, dude, go back in, and these other two picks in the second round, do not guarantee their fourth. Let us get back into this game. Let's don't set precedent. We'll, you know, 50% in year four if you do blank, 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 blank. It's like, because both teams still have another pick to sign in the second round. They got everyone, well, what's the problem here? You already guaranteed, you know, the second pick and the first pick of the second round. Why not the fourth pick? Or in the Texans case, it would be the 16th pick. So, man, it's a mess. And I just feel like because there is so much on the line, I feel like the NFL teams are going to stand as long as they can on this and figure out a way. Now, I will say, the Saints and their front office and Kai Harley and all those guys, they're brilliant. If there's a group that I would like to have figure this out financially, it would be that group. They've been very enormous at, you know, moving money around year after year to get under the cap, more so this year than ever. By the way, do you miss this game, this part of the game, the agent part?
Honestly, I love the negotiation. I don't miss the other aspects of it.
Yeah. Did you deal
off
with
the field?
Did you deal with Jim Finks?
Yes. He actually went against him, and we hired him. He hired us also to do some things for him. And we have a lot of good stories. I could tell you this, that Jim Finks would not have functioned well under free agency. Or under this player today, the type of player today. And he was very, how can I say, inconvenient rules were a nuisance to him. So that's probably the best way I can put it.
He's it's Ian Mora. So they fought free agency tooth and nail. And the Saints would lose players at the very beginning of free agency. And, you know, I was doing Coach Moore's show at the time. He didn't even want to talk about, like, Sam Mills leaving or Ricky Lee. I go, well, dude, I got to talk about it. You know, I can't not. I mean, they did not like it. It just
I think Bobby has a whole book on his negotiation, and it's interesting because I think both sides didn't think they would move on, because there was at one point Bobby said I'm moving on, and then Fink says I'm moving on, and then they both tried to get each other back and it didn't work out. So it was he was not made for that time. And I think mercifully, he didn't become commissioner, because I think it would have made him crazy. He passed shortly thereafter. But he was very old school. And when we were working on for him, if there was a rule that he didn't care for, he sort of just said, find a way to get around it. So... you know, he just had his own way of thinking how things should be, and he was fantastic, and he probably changed the course of the Saints from, you know, a perennial loser to a winning team.
Doug, before we let you run, there was one other situation I wanted to ask you about. I talked with you a little bit about this off air. Yeah. Jamar Stewart and the Cincinnati Bengals. We talked that 30 of the 32 second-round picks are unsigned. Only one first-round pick from the 2025 draft remains unsigned. And that's Shamar Stewart, who was picked in the middle of the first round. The Cincinnati Bengals, there's a conflict with Shamar and the Bengals over future guarantees, and that he hasn't signed this contract. And then NBC puts out a story today that he's considering going back to school with Texas A&M, and he's been training with the Aggie program. The Bengals start training camp later on this week. They started on July 19th. And if you're talking about kind of running up against the clock here, and it's not just a second-round pick, this is the first-round pick here that we're talking about with Shamar Stewart. It's been a fascinating storyline to follow. I just want to get your thoughts on what's been going on with Cincinnati.
I thought that may happen with a sixth or seventh round pick, that they would say, look, I could make more money in college, and I'm going to go back. Now, the thing with Stewart, Smith could do is if he wanted to go back to Texas A&M, he could find a court that may give him a temporary restraining order to allow him to play. And the time that order maybe is disposed of, the season may be almost over. So I think it's a very interesting strategy if they're trying to accomplish something in the contract that they haven't so far. But I'm a little surprised it's a first-round pick. I thought it might be like a fifth or sixth or seventh-round pick who they might say, hey, you know, I'm going to go back to college. I might do better in college than I am in the NFL. And there's some rules against that. But the question would be, are those rules enforceable, or is that a restraint of trade? And all that is totally up in the air. And the NFL doesn't like uncertainty. The NCAA doesn't like uncertainty. And the players would be bringing uncertainty to that situation. So it bears watching. It'll be interesting on how that plays out. And if he gets hurt working out with Texas A&M, that is a whole new dimension that you'd have to deal with as far as the contract's concerned. So,
well, that's the one thing. Shuck has been taking part in the OTAs, minicamp, so he's up to speed, and he's been working with Cooper Rush, been working with Brandon Cook. So we'll see. I mean, we're a week away. A lot needs to happen. I don't care about the other 30. I do care about one.
Right.
A lot needs to happen in the coming days. Now, I hope you are busy. I hope you and Albert at your law firm are busy on Monday. I hope it's got nothing to do with insurance and weather, and I hope that is not your focus on Monday.
We hope that we're not doing that for the rest of our career.
Exactly.
So there you go.
All things
Amen.
Legal, Sunday 8 to 10, Albert Nico and Doug Cinceri. I knew this would be invaluable when I emailed you this morning. Thinking, this is a topic we've kind of like, oh, yeah, it'll happen. It'll happen. It ain't happened. So I appreciate your time. My best to your family. My best to Albert.
All right. Good talking to you guys.
Thanks, Doug.
Right, see you later. Bye-bye.
Back after this. This is Sports Talk with Mike Haas and Charlie Long, taking you to 8 o'clock. Take a break here on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome back. This is Sports Talk. Mike Haas along with Charlie Long with you until 8 o'clock tonight. And my thanks to Doug Cinceri, who just joined us to talk about the second round picks and the unsigned players. And just one of those conversations that if you didn't get a chance to listen to, we hope that you will. And we always know you can't listen to an entire show sometimes, so Odyssey makes it easy to listen when you want and how you want. Listen to this show and any of our WWL Time Shifted podcasts on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. It was during the draft, big time Green Bay, and they made an announcement during the draft about the UFC 318 coming to New Orleans. And I will tell you, social media wise, for the Smoothie King Center and us at, you know, over at the Caesars Superdome, it was as big as a Super Bowl. That announcement during the draft in New Orleans had that much. And I was like, whoa, I don't follow a lot of it. But looking forward to this weekend, Dustin Poirier against Holloway. That'll be Saturday. But it's a multi-day event. Today was media day. And there's a lot of stuff fans can get involved in. Tomorrow, the 17th, they have a press conference at 5 o'clock at the Smoothie King Center that is open to the public. Doors open at 4. You pay for some parking in that area. And then on Friday, they have the weigh-ins that are closed to the public. And then they have a ceremonial weigh-in that happens at 5 o'clock again, you know, at the Smoothie King Center. And then on Saturday, the day of the fight. Now, this is the important one because this is the fan fest that they have in the parking lot right next to the Smoothie King Center, parking lot 3, from 1 to 5. And they've got it. You can meet and greet some of the athletes. You can get selfies with a UFC belt. But, of course, we want to watch the weather. That's really the only thing that's outside. The other stuff, the press conference and the ceremonial weigh-in, they'll be inside. But you'll want to keep up with UFC.com, all of their social sites, because they will be keeping an eye on the weather. And then doors open. Blah, blah, blah. What time are the doors open? Doors open 4 o'clock on Saturday at the Smoothie King Center for just an all afternoon and night. There's early prelims, and then the main card, and then Dustin Poirier and Max Holloway will be the end of the main card. Dustin from Lafayette, he's been a lifelong Saints fan. In fact, went to Saints camp today. Dustin Poirier went over to Saints camp today, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, very cool.
And so this is a biggie. I wasn't aware of how big it was until that draft night, but he wants to finish his career, does Dustin Poirier, here in Louisiana and in New Orleans, a place where he says it helped him get his start. And this is the third time against Holloway. He won the first two, but they've been some battles. And so Holloway has the belt right now, and Dustin would like to get that back. And so lots of stuff coming up. And so I'm just looking forward to it. And again, I don't follow it enough. I watched enough today to kind of see how Holloway got the belt back, and he beat this guy, Justin, what's his last name? I got to get it right. Justin Gaethje.
Right.
And so in the most amazing, you know, knockout with a second left in the fifth and final round, that is how he got the belt back. Or got the belt, and he's kind of making his way, you know, into this lighter class. So it's just going to be cool. The first time they fought was 13 years ago. Poirier won. It was his fourth straight victory. That was a long time ago, 13 years. And then they faced off again 6 years ago, and Poirier won that one in that five-round battle. So, and there's a lot of things I would do in life. This ain't one of them.
So
those cats are different cats.
Absolutely. A couple things here, Mike. As you mentioned, Dustin Poirier's retirement fight, the last fight that he's going to do, it kind of full circle back in Louisiana. Yeah. That's got to be a really, really cool moment for him. But this is also, when I was doing a little bit of research on this, the first UFC big fight event in New Orleans in over a decade. The last time it was here was June of 2015. And here we are sitting July 2025. So UFC fans in South Louisiana are probably going to be coming flocking to New Orleans for this
event.
It's
been a sellout. It's a pay-per-view event.
Right.
Right? So you can you can watch it, you know, kind of the prelims. I mean, it's UFC.com. It's ESPN Plus, UFC Fight Pass. I mean, here's how things have changed. If you remember back in the day, and I know you're not nearly as old as I am, but, you know, if things were being streamed, you know, bars would get it somehow, and you'd have to go, and you'd find – not anymore. If you go to the UFC.com website, they'll go, here is where you can go and watch it. Here's who's streaming it,
right?
As opposed to, hey, man, I went over to this bar on, you know, blank street and watched the fight. So times have changed, but it's been a sellout. It's going to be great all day Saturday. We'd hope the weather does not, you know, play a factor in the fan fest. And Dustin already has said that Lil Wayne is going to be his walkout music.
Nice.
Yeah, pretty cool.
We got our kind of bias here, Mike. Yeah, I think everyone is going to be rooting for the Diamond out of Lafayette, the Lafayette kid. So go Dustin Poirier. You know, I'm like you. I don't watch too much of UFC and follow too much of fighting, but this is something that I will definitely be tuned into this upcoming weekend.
Take a break. That's coming up this weekend. Again, you go to UFC.com, Smoothie King Center, Caesar Superdome. We're all going to take you to the same spot. Get all the information you need for a great weekend to be indoors. Back after this, this is Sports Talk. Mike Austin, Charlie Long here on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. Welcome back. Mike Austin, Charlie Long, getting close to 7 o'clock and the news here. Got another hour coming your way. We'll talk Pelicans. They play tonight, 8:30 against Oklahoma City. Talk a lot more about the Saints and their training camp that is coming up. And, hey, the ESPYs are tonight. They used to be in February. They used to be in the summertime. So Shane Gillis is hosting. We'll talk about that.
That's fun.
Shane Gillis is hosting, and it is live. No live to tape, no live delay, live. So we'll be interested. New Orleans has played a little bit of heart in that, you know. Peyton Manning was the host, and few people remember John Goodman, the actor John Goodman, was the second ever host. Dennis Miller did it 2 years, John Goodman back in 1995. So they're doing the red carpet right now for the ESPYs, but we'll talk about that some. And a lot more coming your way here. It is Sports Talk until 8 o'clock, but of course the news is next. Watching that weather.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.